Welcome back to Money FM. You're listening to Showbiz at Money. This is Kamota Mayondi. And before we went on the break, I was holding back telling you who my guest is. So my guest in studio with me today is none other than John Mutale Nshimbi. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for coming. Me.
Yeah. So as I was prepping to have this interview, it started on one end and then I took it a totally different direction because at the time I didn't know, like, John could be anybody. Then I was like, it's this John. I have more questions for this particular John. So, but first I'll stick to the original script. So for those of you who may know John, well, I think a lot of people know you as DJ Blocks.
Yes,
that is like what people know you for. And then on the other hand, you're highly involved in the entertainment industry, more in the background of it. So I want us to first touch on that particular aspect. So with yourself, you are in the business of entertainment and more on the background side of it, which is the support side. So how do you navigate when entertainment is your business? How do you navigate that?
When you've chosen to be on a certain path, I think everything just falls in place, if I may put it that way. From inception, I've had a particular like into sound and music.
So in your day-to-day, you're part of a larger group of people who offer support, behind-the-scenes support. Like, a lot of people go to events and we don't quite understand what did it take to come here and be like, these lights are pretty or the sound is on point. So in your day-to-day, how hectic is it to pull off an event?
The honest truth is it's quite hectic. It actually starts way before you actually have to see the event. Most of the work we do involves background meetings before the event, maybe a month, two times before, or three times before you go to a site to assess and visit what a client wants to do. And then you get to look at what risks are there, what's possible and what's not there. And then when you get to the actual event, there's a lot of things involved. You've got quite a number of people that are required to piece together a lot of bolts and nuts and cables and a lot of things for your whole show to come together.
Okay, so what's the largest number of people that have attended a particular event that you were a part of in the background, whether you're doing the sound or helping with lighting, stage? What's the largest crowd that you've been able to manage?
I should think that was 14,000 people.
A local event. So today on the subject of where the local scene currently is, Zambia is at a place where almost every weekend there's an event happening and these events are pulling people in the thousands. Minimum, I think an event is 2,000 people at least. And you mentioned risks. What are the risks around the business of entertainment?
Okay. When you're dealing with so many people, there's quite a lot of things that can go wrong if they will go wrong. So one main factor would be that we're working with electronics. So highest risk would be a fire starting out, electrical fault. The second one I would look at is probably public liability. Insurance, actually. There's such a thing. If a structure fell on a person, you know, injury to people, and maybe a stampede, those things are other things.
So
that I look at.
This is an interesting point to note because earlier on the news recap, we're talking about insurance. So event organizers generally have to make sure they've got this covered.
Yes, they do.
Otherwise,
actually, public events, you need to, and with each event, I think they need to assess the risk, because risk for 100 people and risk for 14,000 people will be very different.
A different type of risk.
Yes.
So what do you feel has changed in the Zambian market recently that allows us to pull off events of these magnitudes, 14,000 people? How has the infrastructure supported this?
I think over the few years, one thing would be exposure.
Exposure.
The internet.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the internet has brought about access to things that people were not aware of. And we can be exposed to entertainment at a level that we couldn't before. If I had a new song out, it would take people quite
a while
to get to hear that song on record or tape or CD. But today, if a song drops this minute, the whole world can receive it this minute and they get to see that. So that has created a certain...
A drive for it. Yeah. So you mentioned that the internet has brought in exposure and people want to do these things. Would you also say Zambia is at a place where people can now afford to pay $350 for a ticket, $750 for an Inner Circle ticket? Do you think we have more money than before?
About the money, I wouldn't be so sure. I'm not sure because with each event... some people make and some people lose. That's just the truth.
That's the truth. You win some, you lose some.
The most important thing that might make you is your content.
You need
to have what people are willing to pay for.
Okay. Well, I feel you operate in the industry that is on the other side in the sense that you offer support to people having events. So more events for you is not a bad thing. It's more tricky if I'm an opposing event and I'm like, on the 5th, this is what's happening. So, with regard to services that offer support for entertainment festivals, how competitive is the market?
It's very competitive.
It's very competitive?
Yes, it is. What will I say will keep you running is how you, first of all, deliver your work.
Yes.
So mostly your work will speak for itself. Secondly, I think your relationship with your clients. If you have a good relationship and you're able to actually do as you say you will and deliver, I think you have many returning clients and recommendations.
Okay, so if you've just joined us, you're listening to Money FM. This is Showbiz at Money. In studio with me is John. By the way, John, how do you prefer to be called? Like, you're quite multifaceted. You are.
I think John is good.
Okay, John is good. Okay, that's great. So this is John and Kamota. Well, Kamota and John. John is on my show, so it's Kamota and it's Kamota and John. This is Money FM 93.7. So if you just joined into us, we're talking about the business of entertainment with regard to the behind the scenes. So John operates in the industry that offers support. You might have been to an event where the company he represents is doing the sound, is doing the stage, and is coordinating the crowd and making sure you don't get hurt as you're enjoying yourself. So we'll come back with more on this, but right now, a break. And we are back. You're listening to Kamota. And in studio with me, I have John. We're talking about the entertainment, the behind the scenes of entertainment, what it takes to pull off these large events with people who are up to 14,000 strong in a crowd. So John is just giving us some insight on what it takes. There's risks that they have to mitigate as organizers. And now, moving on slightly towards the other side of you. So if people don't know, and I think when I say this, maybe some people also have the moment that I have a like, oh, John is that person. So John is actually a DJ and an award-winning DJ at that 2015, the Miller DJ competition. So, well, I feel like it's almost natural. Or is it natural that a DJ then has work in the industry? Was this a deliberate move? Do you DJ on the side? And are you a general manager to an event coordinating company?
Okay. Like I said before, I think everything falls in line with my initial liking to sound and music.
So you just...
It just defined a path for me.
Uh-huh.
And I started the music before I actually got into the event side of things.
Okay.
So that one would say it comes first because it was more of a hobby. And hobby becomes a talent and becomes business.
I like that. I love that. Please say that again. A hobby becomes...
It's a hobby, talent, and it led to business.
It led to business. I really love that. I think I'll be quoting you. Like a hobby, then talent, then business. So when you say business, you went on to win an award for being a DJ. How did you monetize your craft? Like, how did you realize, like, okay, I'm not just playing at family functions, or yeah, how did you decide to monetize the craft?
I think the people decided, because
the people decided. I like the people are like DJ Vlogs, DJ Vlogs. I like that.
I'll do this just obviously, as you said, for event, private, family, and just because I liked the idea of expressing myself through music. But as you move along and you get invited to different places, you get to meet different people from different walks of life, and some of them would say, please, how much do we need to pay for this, because we really need you to do this for us at this date, this time. And I had to think about it, and eventually it became high demand and I had to supply.
I like that, high demand, that you like give the people what they want.
So we got started then, and I've not stopped since. So just expanded more and learned more about music.
And speaking of expanding, you also expanded in the sense of almost multiplied. So you are DJ Vlogs, and then collectively you are part of Creative Natives. How did that happen?
I've been in love with music for a very long time.
How long? When did you fall in love with music?
On a very serious note, things became serious when I think I was just about to head to boarding school, high school.
Okay.
And being sent away from home, I think the one thing that I embraced the most was
the music.
I did my school, dance school, very, very well as well.
wait a minute, John, that feels like a disclaimer.
It's one thing, because when you talk about music too much, some people would wonder if you have another side of
okay,
you.
Okay, I feel we'll get
formal.
Back to that point, yeah. But yeah, okay.
Sure. So
the love happened,
and then in school, I've had a friend that I basically linked up with. We became more or less like brothers, and we've been since then.
And
we shared the music.
And that's Creative Natives.
And that's Creative Natives.
So it's a friendship turned... So it's a common love for music. So what happened first, the friendship or the music? What brought you and your...
We both found that we have this very strong liking
to the music. So
we came from the same neighborhood.
Okay.
We went to the same boarding school.
Great.
The only time we've not been together is when we went to pursue our tertiary education.
Okay.
So he went to another country, I went to another country.
Okay.
And when we got back, I think we said, we're done with what we needed to do for life. Let's do what we need to do for us now.
Okay, so how long has Creative Natives as a unit been... in existence?
About a year and 4 or 5 months.
A year and 4 or 5 months. And what does Creative Natives mean for DJ Vlogs? Can I then say, DJ Vlogs, I'm having a house party next week on Friday, I just want you? Do you disband and both do your individual thing?
So Vlogs is a brand on its own.
Okay.
And Creative Natives is a brand on its own. The main big difference is that I decided to say I need to separate the two and be another brand, because one is particular, it's defined. One is just me and my partner producing house music, and that's what we export.
That's what you and so when you say export, as in you mean it in the actual sense,
in
your
actual
music
sense,
is actually going
our music.
So as I'm talking with you, John, I'm loving the terms that you use. Like, I can definitely see a businessman. I'm talking to a DJ. I'm talking to a general manager of an events. How can I eloquently?
It's a rental company.
Rental company, events rental company, a DJ. But I'm also talking to a businessman. That's coming out very clear for me. So I want to backtrack to something that you've said. That you said earlier about school. So you said you went to school, and you sort of, to me, came off almost as a disclaimer. Do you? This is common though in our society or community.
True.
Where people look at people pursuing creative pursuits as, are you even educated? So do you feel having completed school, and you actually have a background in sound, in
computer networking and renewable energy.
Computer networking. So computer networking and renewable energy, working in events rental, producing music locally and internationally. So the school aspect, like, explain why you said, why did you say what you said?
I think it's with what you've just brought up. When you're a creative, and not as not as creative natives, but in general,
whether
you're an artist, a musician, a painter, any form of creative, there's a very, I don't know what you call it, but it's a mindset.
A narrow.
People tend to think that maybe we creatives don't take time to pursue education.
Okay.
Yeah, and we do, but sometimes your passion and what you want to do might not be aligned with what you actually initially started off to say this is what you might want to do.
So was there a passion initially in the computing and IT space you found yourself in?
It still is.
Okay.
Yeah, but I just can't pursue it because I can't take on too much.
Okay.
So I've chosen to just take on a few that I can already keep myself in full control of.
Okay.
But yeah, I still have a particular liking to information technology and everything
else. So how does that come into play in your day-to-day? How do you apply your degree?
I think they are connected because I find that some of the knowledge I have in that section helps me quite a lot with the event side of things and also with the music aspect. So everything, actually, it's like every day you have a bit of math in everything you have to do.
Yes. This is Showbiz at Money with John in studio. He is my guest. So if you don't know John, well, I think most people know John. They know him as one half of the Creative Natives, also goes by Blox, an award-winning Zambian DJ. So John, you mentioned something I took note of. You are a brand, so you identify as being the brand Blox and then the brand, which is Creative Natives as a unit. What has been the importance of packaging yourself as such? And also, does it get confusing when, as a person, you're a almost multi-faceted brand? You're this, you're that. You know, because even when, like, I had that moment, like, wait, John, okay, someone's coming called John. I'm like, John. Yeah, how does that go?
It took a while to adjust and put everything in a logical sense for myself as well. But I had to do it so that I could know what A was and what B was and what C was. So when I need to be John working as a general manager, I am just that. And many times I walk to a place and if somebody identifies me as another person, I'll say,
reframe.
We're here for work and business first. And once we get out of the way, then I can now socialize on that nod and that aspect. Yeah.
That's interesting to note. Though a part of what you do can almost marry in the sense that you're still in entertainment somehow, whether you'll be doing a corporate event or a concert. So does that make also the multifaceted person that you are slightly more easy?
It has helped quite a lot. Also with understanding.
Understanding.
Because now I understand from an artist point of view. I understand as a supplier for an event.
As
and
a supplier.
Also as my client, sometimes I have to put myself in their shoes and get to work around what they might be thinking and what they might be seeing and express how it is on our side.
Okay, so you get to see what you do from so multiple angles, which has benefited you in the long run.
Yeah.
So back on, I've lost track of my question. Damn. So in your industry, time is money. So how does this directly translate as a general manager in an events company, as a DJ? How does that translate? Time is money.
Let me say the easiest way to put this is you should not waste time.
And
if you have any time with you, you should use that to earn money.
You're so purely a businessman.
As a general manager for what we for the business that we do, obviously we make money in that business, which is renting and supplying equipment.
Yes.
As a DJ, I get to make revenue from the events that I'm hired to play at.
Mm-hmm.
As creative natives, we are selling music internationally, and that's making money as well. So the time that I have is either in work, after work, it's in production. If it's not production, it's an event, and this time around as an artist. So whatever little free time that's available, I try and maximize.
You maximize
as much as I can to okay. get things done.
So as someone who is partially in part actually pursuing a creative career, how does poor time management like injure you in the pocket? Like if something happens, something is late, or if you miss something, how does that injure you in the pocket?
It actually hurts quite a lot, because my biggest issue every day is that I say I don't have enough time in a day to do everything that I want
that
to
is
do.
True.
The 24-hour clock is almost not enough, because there's still a lot that I feel I want to get done every single day when I come to an end of a day.
Okay.
So hurting in the pocket, as an artist,
yes.
If you're late, most of our contracts are that you lose some money.
Is that true?
Well, at least I have a contract that is a bit harsh with my clients, so okay. equally
don't waste my time,
just have
basically
that, agreement. Yes. If I need to be, I need to be at this time, let it be then. And if I do get to give you my service for an agreed time, if there's an extra hour or requirement further,
yes,
it's going to cost you a little bit extra, because now time is money.
I am absolutely falling in love with the way you think. Because usually the way that it is for creatives is you get a creative and then you get zero business acumen. How long did it take you to reach this point to say time is money? In as much as I'm a DJ, you can't tell me your set starts at 10 and you want me to come on at 12 when at 12 I'm booked at another place. How did you get to that decisive point?
Experience.
So
you get to go through so many things, and when you've had too many
Sorry,
of the
I'm
same
giggling. So there's been instances where you're just like
too many instances of different natures, and I think you learn. If you don't learn, then you're the one who's lying to yourself.
That is
so
true.
Once you experience certain things, you as people, we tend to protect ourselves.
Yes.
Yes. Also, the client needs to protect themselves. So if I am late for an event, it's only fair that I do not get my money in full, because
you're late.
I'm late. I equally should feel I need to pay for
the loss.
For the loss,
okay.
Yeah.
So do you think this is a norm in the Zambian entertainment sphere? A lot of people complain, and I like that you're here because you can answer this on both sides.
Yes.
You're in the front and you're in the back of some of the problems that we have around entertainment. Concerts that don't start on time, that's
Very
for me
often.
That's so annoying for me, because at a certain time you're like, I had planned to be out only 2 hours, and now the artist who I really want to see is not here.
5 hours late.
It's 5 hours late. Are they these contracts you speak of, do they not apply across the
Sadly,
industry?
Sadly, we don't have structures in place that might help people with being on time when they need to be on time. Some events, very few of them, will try and maintain and keep that. I say there's two things to blame.
Yes,
mainly I blame the show goers, the attendants, the people themselves. We, the people that attend these events,
okay.
have a big problem.
Okay.
Because time and again, I've seen people put together a program.
Uh-huh.
They actually share the artist program.
Yes.
To say, this artist is on from this time to this time, and our program runs from 8 to 12.
Yes.
And it's this way.
Uh-huh.
And you get to 9. When the program started at 7 and there's no people. So I think it becomes hard for a promoter to
okay.
move on, knowing that they are praying and hoping they'll have a bit more people later to
okay.
actually have. Because also as a creative on stage, as an artist, you really don't want to perform your art to no one.
To no one, yeah, that must
so
be
that
difficult.
So that hurts, and it affects most of these performances rely on energy. You need to feed off the energy of the people. So imagine you're in a stadium and you've got 30 people in front of you. That's a very big space that you're looking at with very few people, and
you're demotivated.
Yes, it takes away the energy and the art itself.
But okay.
Also, people just fail to show up on time. We have a thing. It's a Zambian time thing. Yes, I don't know. We even created Zambian time, which is not on the GMT.
It's not on the GMT
and everything else. But we seem to be coming late for events.
So if you've just joined us, this is Money FM 93.7. This is Kamota. And in studio with me, I have John, who wears many hats. He's a general manager of an events rental company. He is one half of Creative Natives. And as a whole, he is DJ Blocks. John Nshimbi.
Yes.
So time management. So basically, we need to show up. If we buy a ticket for 7 p.m., show up at 7 p.m.
I've always said if people would emulate the behavior they have when they buy or pay for an air ticket, we would run smoothly
That's
as a nation in everything that we do. Because I've never seen a person show up late for a flight. Usually they check in 2 hours before, and some people will be there even 3 hours before taking photos, you know, the internet.
Yes.
There's very few people who are late for a flight.
Yeah.
So if we could keep up with that kind of a system for these events and many other things that we do, I think we would operate much, much better.
So on the other side, we've talked about how money costs an artist when they're late. But on the other side, you're in the rental business. If someone has, you've set up you've made the set, you've got the stage, what is there a loss to you if there's one person in the crowd?
Previously, and sometimes still, we've had situations where we more or less have some budget, or sometimes we need to come up with a payment plan for a client.
Okay.
Because they had zero show or zero attendance or not as expected from their projection.
Okay.
So if you were putting on an event and calculating your money and profit on a 3,000 attendance, and you have 500 people come in, and you've got expenses of an international artist that you had to pay quite a lot of money for, and flights and accommodation, and rental equipment as well and stuff. So you now have a red line, and you're way below your red line. So what happens is you need to come up now with, especially if all your eggs were in the one basket,
which normally is the case.
When I sell tickets, I make money and then I'll pay off everybody else.
Yes.
What we've chosen to do is we have a contract, and in that contract, if you really need our service, you need to first of all pay a 50% to confirm a booking, so that we know that this is actually going
this
to happen.
Real.
Because sometimes people will make an inquiry but not
follow
through.
Okay.
So if you need me to keep a date and I know that I'm doing this on this date, I need some level of commitment.
Okay.
So I get a 50% as a booking.
Okay.
And because of where we've reached now and through experience with many, many difficult people, we would rather now say we get the other 50% a day before the event.
Okay.
Being that we have set up everything that we need to set up and we've supplied basically. So for us to run the show, we need you to fully pay
to
in
foot
full.
It. So if you've just joined us, that's John, and this is Kamota, and you're listening to Showbiz at Money. In closing, I have a question about the type of artists or the type of shows that we do. Do you think the Zambian market and the infrastructure we have can bring in really, really huge international acts? Let's say Beyonce. Can we bring Beyonce?
No.
Why?
It's return on investment. We do not have the numbers here. I think with many, many things of late, our country is doing better now with entertainment.
Yes.
More people are waking up to entertainment than the years before.
Very true.
I see more people attending these events now. I see more people doing these events now. This year has had the highest number of events I've seen in
a calendar
year, ever since I can't remember. And we've had more continental and international artists very come true. Through this year.
Yes.
It's a good thing because obviously that's why I'm saying people are more getting more aware and being more exposed to entertainment. But to get to a level where we can actually pull big acts, we are still very far from that. And I think that's why you can see the people that do bring the very big international acts will bring you the back in time acts.
Yes.
Because they really can't afford the newer guys acts. Because they won't get the return on the that investment.
So basically it's purely return on investment, nothing to do with the infrastructure.
Not the infrastructure, but the numbers.
Okay.
You need to have a high priced ticket and buy the numbers to be able to afford an artist of
that caliber.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. So this has been Showbiz at Money with Kamota, and I had in studio with me John, who's one half of Creative Natives, who currently have a new single out with El Mokoka. So do check that out. And thank you so much for joining me on the Showbiz at Money.